Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We've been looking at biblical evangelism. How does God want us to bring people to Christ? What does he want us to do? In John chapter 6. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? John chapter 6 and verse 24. John 6, 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did what? Eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye what? Believe on him whom he hath sent. We want everyone to hear the gospel, but what is the right way to get the gospel to them? In this chapter here of chapter 6, the Lord's going to feed the 5,000, but they come to him the next day, and he stops them in verse 26. He said, in the middle of the verse, it says, Ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. We want everyone to hear the gospel because that's the only way to be saved. Notice with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. But how do we get them to listen to it? What do we do? That's the question here. In Romans 10:13, the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So the Lord wants us to take the gospel to the entire world. Notice with me in Mark chapter 15, the Lord gave his parting a commandment here, commission to his disciples in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Jesus is speaking and he said unto them, Go ye into all the what? The world and preach the gospel to every creature. This week we were able to ship out 20 of those solar powered audio Bibles, just those little handheld things for people in India that speak the Hindi language, that in the northern part of India, a lot of them do not get to go to school. They don't learn how to read and write. And so these little audio Bibles, they'll be able to listen to the Bible read. And so we were not able to ship them directly to India, but different places around the United States and different people are going to go to India and take them. And so we want everyone of every language to be able to hear the Bible and to know how to be saved. And we want to do it God's way. And this in the last few weeks, we've been able to print two different gospel tracts in Cebuano language for the Philippines. And so it's just exciting to be able to get out some gospel literature in languages that we've never been able to do before. So it's exciting. One of the tracks is My Dear Friend, and the other track deals with seven false ideas about hell. And so pray that God would use those, whether it's the Hindi audio Bibles in India or whether it's those gospel tracts in the Philippines. Let's pray that God would use them. So how do we get people to these things? What do we do? Well, back in John chapter 6, God's way to get people to hear the gospel is not to give away things, nor sell them either, don't get me wrong. But we're going to look back in just a moment at how Jesus fed these people, but they come the next day in verse 26, John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did what? Eat of the loaves and were filled." When you give away things just to try to get a crowd, you run into the danger of people only saying what you want them to say to be able to get something. And that's not to say that Jesus didn't feed these people, because he did, as we'll read here. Let's just start in here in John chapter 6, in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, Jesus does not rebuke them for following him because they saw the miracles. When people are seeking for their lives to be transformed, these people saw other people. Their lives were being transformed, and so they were following Jesus. So he doesn't rebuke them for that. But he puts a distinction between that, verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. He put a distinction between that and verse 26, once again, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So let's go back to verse 3 then. "And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Why? Well, verse 10 tells us there's 5,000. So they earned a penny a day at that time. So we're talking about 200 days' wages to feed this crowd that was hungry. But Jesus had compassion upon these people. They were come to hear him, to listen to him. Their minds were upon Jesus. But you'll notice back with me in verse 4, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." Now, to the Jewish people, the Passover feast was a big deal. It was a big thing. It was an exciting time. And so they made preparations for it. But these people, even though the Passover was nigh, these people were centering on Jesus. You think about in life the different things that we face, the exciting times. It might be your birthday time, or it might be Christmas, or some other special time in your life. How easy is it to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ versus just the excitement of something going on? But the Lord commended these people in this sense. He was concerned about, they had a need for food, and he was concerned about that. The Jewish world was busy preparing for the Passover. He saw their need, and he had compassion on them. And the Passover, of course, was a type, was an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd hold your place here, if you'd turn me to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Remember the different parts to the Passover? Israel was in Egypt. They were in bondage. There's a lot of people in bondage in America. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Israel was in bondage in Egypt. And in verse 3, Exodus 12, 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. In verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the what? The blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now, what was the deal with the Passover? Well, they were in Egypt. The king of Egypt would not let God's people go, and so they had faced all these different plagues. This is the 10th one, the death of the firstborn. And if the people of Israel would take a lamb without blemish and would take the blood and put it on the two side posts of the door and on the top, the death angel would pass over that house and they would be spared. And that's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. If we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we turn from our sin to Him and ask Him to save us, He will apply His precious, sinless blood to our account and wash away our sins. And that is what this pictured. So all of those who had the blood applied to the door, death would not hit their homes that night. But those who did not, the firstborn in every home, would die that night, and they did. So this Passover, back in John chapter 6, so people are preparing for that, but do you know what? The actual fulfillment of the Passover was right before their eyes. How many times do we miss something that's right there? It's right before our eyes. So many people are missing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's right before their eyes. You mean visibly? No, but the truth is preached right before their eyes. But they miss it. They do not receive Him. Notice with me in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse 5. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Isaiah 53, 5. It says, but He, and this is referring to Jesus, but He was wounded for what?
Our transgressions.
He was bruised for what?
Our iniquities.
So He was wounded for us because of our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned every one to what? His own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for what? For sin. And that's our sin. Jesus offered of Himself for our sin. Remember, we looked at Colossians 1:14. Let's go there again. We said it three times together. Colossians 1:14. Why is Jesus the only way to heaven? Because He is God in the flesh. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth without a sin nature. We all have a sin nature. We're born with it. He lived a perfect life and then died, paying the wage for our sin. Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood, even the forgiveness of what? Of sins. the forgiveness of sins. We can have everlasting life. Notice in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 16, John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life."
Everlasting life. Look down in verse 36, John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son," and the Son is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "he that believeth on the Son hath" what? "Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Look in chapter 5, John 5:24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and" what? "Believeth on him," that's on Jesus Christ, "believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Well, there's many other verses we could read about the everlasting life in Christ. But let's go back to John 6 here, John 6 and verse 5. So Jesus was going to meet the needs of these people. Verse 5. "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Do you realize every time we have a need, God already knows what he's going to do? The question is will we respond correctly? That's the question. He already knows. And so these people who were seeking him first, they could have been out preparing for the Passover, which was a picture of Jesus Christ, but instead they were right there with him. They were seeking him. And so he was going to meet their needs. And you know, when we seek him, he will meet our needs. Notice in Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6:24. The Bible says here, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is referring to money. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Is the only reason that we're alive is to try to earn money to buy food and clothes? I mean, is that the whole purpose of living? No. There's more to life than that. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" I was looking out my window this week, and there were some bluebirds, that were several of them, out on a little bush in the front yard, searching for food, pecking at the ground here and there. Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." People seek so much for clothes, for shoes. This week in our mailbox, we had a package from the Nike company. And it was the church address, but it's somebody else's name. And on the answering machine, there was a message saying, "This is so-and-so, and you know, they delivered a package by mistake in your mailbox. Could, you know, I please get it?" You know, either you bring it to me or I'll stop and get it. Evidently, I don't know how expensive it was, but from Nike, he wanted it. Isn't life more than just shoes and clothes? Isn't there more to life than that? In verse 30, it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what? Need of all these things. Okay, well, so if he knows we need all these things, what is our part? What do we do? Well, verse 33 tells us, but seek ye what?
First.
But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, he's talking about food, drink, and clothing. Verse 31. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God is giving us a choice. We can either spend our whole lives seeking for food, clothes, and drink, or, verse 33, or we can seek him first, his kingdom first, and his righteousness, and then he will add all those things to us. So it's like, am I going to spend my whole life just trying to etch out a living, trying to make ends meet? Or will I seek God? Will I seek him first and his righteousness? Will I acknowledge him and come to him as my Lord and Savior and Messiah and King? Will I come to him and give my life to him? And then all those needs are upon him as I seek him, as I love him, as I serve him. So that's what he promised. And so as we go back to John 6, so these people came seeking him first, and he did. He's going to do a mighty miracle here to feed them. So in verse 7 again, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Philip is saying, Lord, there's no way that we have this much money. Enough money that would amount to 200 days of labor in a year? That's a lot of money. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? In verse 9, the person you would least expect to be able to feed 5,000 is who? A boy, a lad. And he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, boys are often hungry. I don't know how old exactly this lad was. But a lad could involve a teenager as well. So sometimes teenagers have a bottomless pit. And they love to eat. You can feed them. And as soon as seems like you're done feeding them, it seems like they can be hungry again. Was this the only wise person in the whole 5,000 that brought some food? 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Sounds like a lot for one lad. I don't know if it was for himself or if he was supposed to take it home. I don't know. But they said, what are they among so many? So the person least likely to feed 5,000 would be a lad. And yet he turned into the source. Let's not despise our age. Let's not think we're too young to be used of God. On the other hand, let's not think we're too old to be used of God. Remember what we saw in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This boy may have turned in 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes to the Lord, but what was left over? 12 baskets full. Well, let's read on. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had what? given thanks. How many people in this world eat and never thank God for the food? Well, a whole bunch of them. How many times do we as Christians, even we may always pray before we eat, but how many times are we even thinking about what we're saying? I mean, truly thankful. After this last week, how many of you are truly thankful for electricity? Yeah. But if we would have asked that the week before, maybe you couldn't have raised your hand. When we become really thankful is when we have a great need. So Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. We're going to see more about that tonight. As much as they would. We'll talk about that, Lord willing. Verse 12, when they were what? Filled. How do you fill 5,000 people on 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes? Well, God can do it. And he did do it. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. God had more left over than he started with. You couldn't fill 12 baskets full with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, I don't know the basket size, but you probably couldn't even have filled the first basket with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. And yet, the Lord did it. He is able to multiply that, and he did for these people. So our question this morning is, are we really seeking him? Or are we seeking the things of this life? If we seek him first, he will meet our needs in this life. But are we really seeking him? How do we find him? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. God wants us to find him. That's why he gave the path to find him, the treasure map. In Romans 10 and verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, remember, Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. Are we willing to confess the Lord Jesus? Are we really willing to confess before God, Lord, yes, I take you as my master. I long to obey you and please you. Lord Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Lord, I can't help myself. I can't save myself. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, where? In thine heart. Have you ever been lied to? Of course. Everyone has been lied to. But are we lying to God? It says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, we can't fool God. We can't fool God. We can say something to please people, but we can't fool God. Verse 10 says, for with what?
The heart
man believeth unto what? We can be declared righteous by God. But not just by saying words that we don't really mean. It's got to be from the heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. How would you like to have the slate clean? All the sins that we have done, how would you like them all erased? I was talking to a missionary from India this last week or two, and she was saying they get pencils donated to them by, I don't know if it's another school or something there, but she said the reason they give us their pencils is because the erasers are all used up. And when they use up the whole eraser, They were throwing the pencils away. And this missionary said, no, don't throw those pencils away. Give them to us. You could always buy a bigger eraser. And so now they have lots of pencils. How would you like God to erase every one of your sins? That's what he wants to do. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Why would I be ashamed of the one who's erased every one of my sins? Every one of them from the list. For there is, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto who? All that call upon him. It's not just Jews that God will save. It's everyone who will call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of who?
The Lord.
The Lord. What does Lord mean? Master. Lord, I'm weak and I'm sinful. But Lord, I call upon you, the rightful Lord and Master of my life. I give myself to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. This morning, are you saved? Do you know that satisfaction? Do you know that fact that your sins have all been erased for Jesus' sake? That's what he wants to do. Let's pray. As we've bowed our heads for prayer today, you might say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I want to know. Well, this here tells you what to do if you are not saved. Are you willing to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have that desire in your heart that he would be your master? Do you desire to turn your life over to him? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? It was with the mouth confessing the Lord Jesus. If you want to be saved today, you just cry out from your heart, Lord Jesus, I do confess that I'm a sinner. I do believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I do want you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to save me, to forgive me of all my sins. And I do want to serve you. If you will cry out to God with that heart cry, he will save you. And after we're saved, then he calls us to follow him in believer's baptism. When we go under the water, it pictures death to that old life of sin. When we come up out of the water, it pictures a new life serving Jesus Christ. Father, have your way in each of our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn books. If we can help you this morning, we invite you to come.